Welcome, Facebook, to another installment in our Live at 5 Sunday evening Bible studies. I know it is a few minutes before 5. If you happen to be watching this live, that gives me time to share it every place that it needs to go. But I am glad that you are here with us. I hope you have had a good Sunday so far. I know conditions may not be ideal, but at least we are able to meet, we are able to do this virtually, and we're able to still fulfill our obligations here upon the first day of the week to our Lord. Pause, forgive me for just a second while I'm sharing this, but if you want to go ahead, we are going to be talking about overcoming the world there in John chapter 16 and verse 33. So if you'd like to go ahead and be turning to that, we will be beginning there in just a second. Also, if you're watching this and you have a second access to the internet, in the description, I gave you a link that has my notes for this. And so, if you would like to have that to either follow along or study at your own pace, it's in that link. Please feel free to take advantage of that. One more share, and then we will get our... I remember I'm sharing this too. Sorry, I'm doing this all by myself, and so I'm trying to remember. There we go. Live at 5, overcoming the world. I'm so glad it knows what I'm trying to say, because I'm not a good talker. All right. Shall we begin our lesson? Once again, I do want to thank you for being here this afternoon. I've been looking forward to this lesson. And we are going to be talking about overcoming the world. And our scripture text is found almost towards the middle of John's gospel account. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus Christ says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world," he says, "you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so I want us to talk about overcoming the world tonight. And this is part two of a series that I do. It's a two-part series. And as you can tell, this morning on the Wood Church Christ Facebook page, and then I shared it as well, we talked about faith is the victory. 4 points were found in that sermon. Faith is the victory. And we saw how through our faith we can have the victory. And so as we're borrowing lines from that song in our songbook, faith is the victory that what? Overcomes the world. And so that's where the second part of our lesson tonight comes with. How can we overcome the world? Now here in our lesson text, Jesus Christ, we know he overcame the world through his death. Paul tells us in Galatians 1 and 4, Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and of the Father. So he gave himself for you and he gave himself for me that he might deliver us from this present wicked evil world. And John does a good job of summing up this present evil, wicked world. In 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, the wicked things are of the world, not of God, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Those are the things that make up the world. And we also know that every sin that can so easily beset us is found in at least one, if not all three, of those categories there. Friends, can we overcome the world as Jesus did? The answer is yes. And I want us to examine 4 easy things, and the notes will be here beside me. I do hope you have your Bible, because we are going to run scripture references. This is just like a regular Sunday night Bible study, and I do want to thank you for watching. So here is point number 1. How can we overcome the world? Well, plain and simply, God gives us, that's me and that's you, God gives us the power. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4. Verses 4 through 6 for just a second. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Because God is in us, and therefore God gives us the power. Verse 4 of 1 John 4, the Bible says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They that are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, And he that is not known of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Friends, God is in us, and God is greater than what is in the world. Therefore, God gives us the power. So then the question becomes, well, where exactly is the power of God? I'm glad you asked that. Because the power of God is found within His Word. There, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17, the thesis statement for the book of Romans, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So we see the power of God is the gospel, and the gospel brings salvation. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword." It is alive. That's what quick means. It is alive and it is powerful. And friends, we overcome the world by having a knowledge of the Word of God. Run that reference there in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for four things: for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness." Verse 17, "that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly equipped," or thoroughly furnished, "unto every good work." Friends, power exists nowhere else in the world except by, through God. So point number one, we know that faith gives us the victory. How can we overcome the world? That God gives us the power. It is God's power through salvation, through His Word, through having a knowledge, and this power exists nowhere else there in the world. Point number two this evening: faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Friends, faith gives us the victory. Faith gives us the victory. And that's where we found our lesson text for this morning and our previous lesson. And if you haven't watched it, I'd encourage you to go back and study that one. It really helps. I mean, this can stand alone. But look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. John says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So here John tells us that faith truly is the victory that overcomes the world. And who is he that overcomes the world? Why, the one that believes and there believes and acts upon that belief and becomes a child of God. That is he that truly overcomes the world. But friends, our faith manifests, if you will, the manifestation of it. You must be born of God. And that's a requirement. Four references I want us to run on this one. The first one, jump back to John chapter 3, a passage I feel you might be familiar with. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, there's a great ruler of the Jews. His name is Nicodemus. He comes to Christ by night for fear of the Jews. And he basically says that, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, Rabbi," he calls Christ, "for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And notice what Jesus answers and says unto him in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said unto him, "Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," watch this, "except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus says you must be born again, and Nicodemus, thinking worldly, is trying to figure out how he can physically be reborn. Well, you can't physically be reborn. That only happens once, but you can be spiritually born, except by water there and the Spirit. So we see that that's our first reference. Go with me now to 1 Peter. Must be born again. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 23, and then we'll back up to the beginning of the chapter. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter 1, and verse 23. Watch what Peter says. being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So here, Peter says we have to be born again, not of corruptible, not of this earth, not of flesh, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Jump back up to chapter 1 and verse 3 where he says, Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There he says, we have been begotten again, unto a lively hope that comes only through Jesus Christ. And in case there was any a shadow of a doubt, Peter, what are you talking about? By the time we get to the third chapter, he's going to start talking about Noah. And how Noah, by water, by building an ark, following God's command, saved the entire world so we can be saved by water. Watch this. The last word of verse 20 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter is water. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does Peter say save us? Baptism. We must be born again. It is a requirement for you, and it is a requirement for me. We must be born again. We see that Jesus Christ, He is the object of our faith. He has made everything possible. I'm reminded of Peter's confession there, Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, which as an aside, my father-in-law and I, Bill Boyd, we're studying this on Thursday nights in a live series, and you can find that on my page and other places, and hope you can join us for that. But when Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets, he says, whom do you say that I am? And Peter says that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ makes it all possible. See what John says there in John... I'm so sorry. That's why I don't do PowerPoint a whole lot. John chapter 20, there verses 30 and 31. I just won't hold the clicker. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. See what John says there. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John says, I didn't record everything that Jesus did. In fact, really, it would be impossible. Elsewhere, the Bible says the world could not contain everything that Christ did if it was written down. But the things that are written for one specific point, so that you might believe. And that I might believe, and that believing we might have life through his name. Friends, people that obey other people today, they're obeying things that are empty. We see that God gives us the power. We see that faith gives us the victory. But point number three this evening as we're looking at how can we overcome the world, and I love this point. Friends, the world shows us the alternative. The world shows us the alternative. You know, in life, there are not many places where you can see the alternative of if you chose something differently. A lot of times we just have to take a shot in the dark, if you will. Maybe you're trying to buy a new car. Well, you really don't know how that specific car is going to function. Now, you can read consumer reviews, and your neighbor might have one, and your brother might have one, but each car is individually different. We don't really know what's going to happen if we didn't choose that. But friends, if we choose a life that's opposite of God, the world's going to show us the few benefits of that. And they're really not benefits at all. I'm just trying to be nice. Friends, the world's going to show us those things. Don't believe me? Well, let's look here. Satan controls the world. Go with me back to 1 John chapter 5, there in verse 19. 1 John 5 and 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now that, I'm reading from the King James translation. If you're reading from the American Standard Version of, excuse me, of 1901, which is a translation I like to reference, there it translates, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth, watch it, in the evil one. Friends, Satan controls the world. He does. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, there is nothing good about Satan. Nothing good about Satan. We see there in John chapter 8, verse 44, that he is the father of all lies. They all come from him. He's the one that started it all back in Genesis chapter 3. We see there in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter gives a stern admonition. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Why, Peter? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, notice what he calls him, because we often focus on the analogy of how he is like a roaring lion, but notice what the Bible says. Your adversary. What's an adversary? An adversary is an enemy. My enemy. Your enemy is Satan. Friends, and I want you to note, he is ready to devour you. And then if you run that reference there in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, and marvel not, for even Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. Friends, Satan is the father of all lies. He's our adversary. He's a devourer. And he is a deceiver. And he loves to deceive. And friends, I hate to say it, it is possible for the world to overcome us, to overtake us, if we're not careful. It is possible. I want you to turn with me now to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And oftentimes when I'm preaching this, I will call this some of the scariest verses in all of Scripture. Not everybody calls it that, but if you look at it, I want you to see, it may not be the scariest, but it's on the list. Watch this. Watch what Peter says, verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them, verse 21, not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment that was delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Friends, why do I say this is some of the scariest verses in all Scripture? Well, it shows that backsliding there is an option. It shows that we must have a good, firm foundation. But notice, verse 21, for it had been better for them had they not known the way of righteousness, then after they had known it, they turned from the holy commandment given unto them. What's Peter saying? Those that have escaped the pollution, verse 20 of this world, those that have been called out of sin, have obeyed the gospel, are a New Testament Christian, and then they fall back into that same old life of sin, and sadly, I know people that have done that, and I'm afraid to say you probably know people that have done that as well. Peter says it almost would have been better for them had they not known, because now they're blatantly going against what God had said. Now, it doesn't mean they can't come back. They can. But friends, this illustrates the option that backsliding can happen. We can fall from grace, Galatians 5 and verse 4. Once saved, always saved is not a biblical teaching. It is a man-made doctrine, friends, and it is false. We need to be careful. But here's the thing. We're talking about overcoming the world, and we see the world shows us the alternative. You want to weigh it out, say, should I follow Christ or should I follow the world? Look to some great Christians some great people of faith that are living, thus saith the Lord, and not just saying it, but living it. And then you look at the world and the wickedness therein, and it would be real easy in my mind to pick the two, because I've made that choice, and I hope you have there as well. Friends, the world shows us our alternative. Our last point I want us to consider this evening is the results of overcoming give us the motivation to keep going. Results give us motivation. You know, this morning we talked about running the race, how this life is a marathon, and we look to the success of others, and that kind of motivates us. I want us to run some references here in the book of Revelation, mainly from the second and third chapter, one towards the end of the book, though. But grab your Bible and look at this with me, if you would. Revelation chapter 2, there in verse number 7. Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Watch this. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So from Revelation 2:7, we see that we will be able to eat of the tree of life. Now, if that's not a good motivation enough to help us persevere, to overcome the world, I don't know what will be. But look at verse 11. "He that hath an ear, saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." That eternal separation between God and man. Friends, we will not be hurt by that if we overcome. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his holy angels." There's a lot going on there. His name will not be blotted out. We know in order to make it to heaven, our name has to be there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so if we overcome, our name will be there. And also, Christ will confess our name to the Father. There on the judgment day, he'll say, "I know him. I know her. He's mine. She's mine because they overcame." Friends, Christ knows that about us. And verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even also as I overcame and am set down with my Father there in his throne." We see if we overcome, we can sit with the Father, talking about that eternal home in heaven. One other reference there at the end of the book of Revelation, Revelation 21 and verse 7, John says, "By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be to me his, be my son." Friends, we see inherit all things, and what I like better is the second half. That means more to me. That's a personal relationship. I shall be their God, and he shall be my son. Friends, watch this. We can have confidence. Go back with me to our lesson text we started our lesson with here in John chapter 16. And verse 33, Jesus Christ says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." He says, "In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Notice what Christ says. He doesn't say, "Be of good cheer, I might overcome the world." He doesn't say, "Be of good cheer, if my plan works, I will win." He says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That is past tense. He says, "I have already done it." How? When Jesus Christ hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, and he died upon that cross, he put the blow to Satan. Genesis 3:15, the first messianic prophecy, "Thou shalt bruise his heel, he shall bruise thy head." That's that fulfillment. And that is the moment when Jesus Christ defeated death. That's the moment he won. You know, I know many people, I've got some good friends, and they say, "I'm just too afraid to read the book of Revelation," they say, "because it's all scary." Friends, it's not scary. Now, I'll tell you, it's symbolic. But I can tell you the point of the book of Revelation, since we've just ran those references. The point of Revelation is Jesus Christ already won. He's already won the game. You just got to be faithful to death in him, and you've won as well. Friends, we can have confidence. You see on the screen, you're watching there on the video, Jeopardy. Jeopardy is my favorite game show of all time, and I'm a big game show fan. You ask me, I love a good game show. I used to work at DeHoff Christian Bookstore in Murfreesboro, and before they built that new bridge over Broad Street, traffic was a mess because we were right there at that construction zone. And it used to take me right at about 50, 55 minutes to get from my house in Woodbury at the time to DeHoff's. And so on Wednesdays, instead of getting off at 5, I started requesting if I could get off of work at 4, because by the time I had driven for an hour at 5, it's at 6, I turn around, try to eat something, brush up on my lesson, turn around and go to worship, and then go home and get up to radio the next morning. I was exhausted. So I started taking a pay cut by not working that final hour so I could get home at 4 o'clock, or I could leave at 4, get home at 5, and literally just rest before I had to go out. Now that was the official answer, and that's why I did it. But there's also a side benefit of that, is Jeopardy comes on at 5 o'clock on the Fox affiliate. And so, if I'd get home at 6, I'd miss Jeopardy. But if I happened to get home at 5 o'clock, I could watch Jeopardy. And then there was a gentleman at church, we would talk about what had happened that night on Jeopardy. That was one of the things we'd talk about on Wednesday nights. Why do I have Jeopardy here on the board? I want you to imagine this. You have been playing Final Jeopardy, or you've been playing Jeopardy, and you have known every category, all these biblical categories, and you knew it, and if your car guy had all the car categories, or if you're a sports guy, they were all there, and somehow you even knew all the potpourri questions, just kind of the free-for-all questions. And let's say you're going into Final Jeopardy, and you're standing here, and you've got $32,000. Not easy, not hard to do, happens a lot, $32,000. And then the guy to your left has $1,500. And the guy to his left has $2,000. That's when I like watching it, because the person with the $32,000 normally has that big smile on their face and they're so happy. And usually they don't even write anything down, or they'll write a funny message to Alex Trebek and they don't wager any money. Why? Because if the guy that has $1,500, if he gets it right and doubles his money, that's $3,000. Which is still far less than $32,000. If the $2,000 guy happens to get the question right and he doubles his money, $4,000 is still less than $32,000. Friends, he's already won the game and he hasn't even finished playing yet. Do you realize that there's no way the other competitors, no way they can catch him? Why am I using this analogy? Why are we talking about Jeopardy? Friends, because that's how we can be as Christians. We can say with Christ, be of good cheer. He's already overcome the world. We're sitting there. We don't have to do anything in the realm of Jeopardy because we've already won. Because we have the knowledge of being on the side of Christ. Friends, those other two people, there's no way for them to win. You could, to follow the analogy out, you could say they're in the world. Friends, only in Christ, can we have this confidence? Let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to berate sports fans. I'm not a sports fan. Why would you purposely be on the losing team? We talked about it in our lesson this morning, how victory is winning, and most people like to go out and play a game they know they can win. Why would you purposely be on the losing team? Why would you be on the team of the world when you know, when all the points are drawn, when all the tallies are made, that the world loses? Why would you want to be on the team of the world? Friends, the results of overcoming, have the tree of life, overcoming, to sit with the Father, have the name in the book of life, a white raiment, purity. Why wouldn't that motivate you to be faithful to the end? As we begin to close out this afternoon, friends, do we desire the wonderful things of God giving us power through being obedient to Him, faith giving us the victory, the world showing the alternative, and then we see the results motivating us? Do we desire these wonderful things, or do we despise the awfulness of the world? I hope so. Do we desire to be victorious through faithful living? Do we desire God's power in our lives, friends? If we do, we can overcome, watch this, by God's power, by our victorious faith, by rejecting the alternative, and by allowing the results of victory to motivate you and to motivate me. We sing that song in our songbook, Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And it truly is. Faith alone is not going to get it. Once saved, always saved, not going to get it. Picking and choosing, multiple choice, cafeteria-style religion, none of that's going to do it. Only thing is being faithful in all the commands of God. Faith is the victory, and through faith, we can overcome the world. Friends, I do want to thank you for being a part of our Sunday night series, Live at 5. We'll plan on keep doing this series as long as we are in these difficult and trying times. Once again, I don't know what next week's lesson will be, but I guarantee you it's going to be based in the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord, preaching Christ and Him crucified and nothing else. I do thank you for making it a point to be with me here this evening. There are a whole lot of other videos that now we have done, or I have done, I should say, they're on my page or on the Wood Church Christ Facebook page. They've been shared to both of them. Hope you will take an advantage of those. And a lot of other sound preachings happening right now online. Hope you're taking advantage of that as well. Two other things that I'm going to leave this video and release you, if you will. We plan on meeting back here at 6:30 for a midweek Bible study. That'll be Wednesday night at 6:30. And I'm doing 6:30 on purpose because I know there are a lot of other congregations that are either doing a 30-minute study at 6 or they're doing a 30-minute study at 7. So my goal is to do about a 30-minute study at 6:30. That way it won't overlap if you're like me and want to pick up multiple different Bible studies during this time. Also invite you on Thursday night at 6:30. I'm going to keep going through Matthew 16, my father-in-law, Bill Boyd. There's 12 points in that, and we just covered the first four last week. So I hope you can join me for that. Please make sure that you are praying, fervently praying. Praying that God is always in control, but that His will always comes to fruition. Praying for those that are sick, afflicted, and those that are caring for those that are sick and afflicted as well, and those that have lost loved ones. Friends, I'm going to leave you with the same way I close out my radio program, a passage from Numbers chapter 6. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for studying. We'll see you back here Wednesday night at 6:30.